Welcome back to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone, and today we're learning about archaeology. October is International Archaeology Month, and October 19th is International Archaeology Day. Here in New Mexico, at the New Mexico Office of Archaeological Studies, the laboratory that hosts more than 8 million artifacts, their doors are open to the public only one day a year, October 19th. This episode was originally broadcast live on International Archaeology Day in 2019. Our guest coming up, Mary Wiaki, is an archaeologist. Mary, what is it that you do here?
I am a field archaeologist here for the Museum of New Mexico Office of Archaeological Studies. I am a lithic analyst, common name chipstone. So any rocks, arrowheads, projectile points that are found in sites, I get to look at it, and every single piece of chipstone, no matter how small and minute it is, has 200 attributes. So I have to know how it was removed off the main stone, where the source material is, what kind of arrowhead or projectile point was used to manufacture from that material.
What is your sharpest arrowhead?
Obsidian is the sharpest, and it beats surgical steel. And people are using it for surgeries on eyes and also on different types of organs because it doesn't hold bacteria. It's glass, so it's easy to clean, and that's the sharpest stone you could possibly use.
Obsidian is that black, shiny stuff, right? Yeah, that's
it's volcanic glass.
Oh, basically. Is that what it is? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
How does your job connect to the culture?
My job connects to the culture because a lot of times, like Dr. Blumling explained earlier, stuff deteriorates and stone gets left behind. So we have to figure out who made it, where it came from, and we can determine that by the base of a projectile point.
Have you ever found like an arrowhead intact or a bow and arrow or something like that?
Yes. We did a couple of cave structures, and there were over 100 intact projectile points, and we did a blood residue, so we know they were eating buffalo, antelope, ram, deer.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. A blood residue. Who knew that such a thing was even possible?
What do you call your necklace?
She's wearing a beautiful necklace. I guess we should describe it. It's round.
It's round, and it has eagle feather design on the base. It's a piece of jade, and there are two warriors, one looking to opposite directions. And the circle is like your life circle, and green is more powerful than bluestone. It's more of a healing and life-giving stone.
And you wear it. Is it a traditional
design? It's an amulet, yeah. A lot of cultural people wear arrowheads, and they'll wear amulets or quartzitic stones. You know, it's just a part of, you know, your culture and where you're from sometimes.
Where are you from, Mary?
I am half Comanche, so I'm from the Fort Sill, Oklahoma area, and I'm Santa Clara Pueblo. So my mother's Santa Clara.
And that's here in New Mexico.
That's here in New Mexico. It is exactly 30 miles north of this office. So I can see home.
That's pretty cool.
What other type of arrowheads are there?
There are several types of arrowheads. And they date back from 900 BC to today's modern day arrowhead makers.
Have you found any amulets at your dig sites?
We have a lot of amulets that we find, and a lot of them are bird. They're called fetishes or ornaments, and they're made from different stones that wouldn't be used to make a weapon because they're not necessarily strong enough to shoot at an animal.
What is the weirdest place you've found, like an amulet or something?
The weirdest place? I'm going to say down south in a mining town, and I'm sure somebody picked it up because you know how kids like picking up stones and they carry it around, and you're like, what is this doing out here? So somebody probably brought it in, a miner, a little child, and left it out there in a mining site.
So Mary, that brings up a good point. If we find something that clearly looks ancient as we're walking around wherever we live, Is there a rule or a protocol about that sort of thing?
There certainly is. You want to pick it up, admire it, look at it, and make sure you put it back exactly where you found it. Because once you remove it from that site, it has lost its story, and we can never tell what it was doing there.
I saw when I was touring around this place to figure out the broadcast, I was brought to this little closet type room that you all have. And I think they called it the guilt room. It's like where people, tell us about that.
The guilt room is people who go out to sites like Santa Clara Pueblo or Marlin's historic monument site. They see and admire a piece of pottery or a stone, and they pick it up and they take it home. Later on, they start thinking, oh my God, I shouldn't have removed that. And when I was little, my grandma would say, don't ever pick that stuff up because they're going to come and want it back. And I guess this happens to a lot of these people. And the next thing you know, we get a box with no name on it because they're guilty.
Do you mean they come and want it back? Like
the spirits want it back. Yeah.
So it's kind of like you kind of curse like, yourself in a way if you do
like
that.
Like Hawaii says, don't take the black sand.
Oh.
So it's kind of like the same philosophy.
If we find an artifact, who do we let know?
You can leave it in situ, which means leave it in place, and you can certainly call this office. We'll send somebody out to shoot it in, and it'll be on a map.
So do you test the artifacts for, like, fingerprints and stuff?
Not necessarily fingerprints. So blood residue is probably the big one. If it was found in a pottery, there might be pollen samples on it from corn or meat that they ate, and we can certainly pick that up.
That's fascinating. Mary, thank you so much for being with us on the Children's Hour. I'm going to bring Eric over to the microphone because we're talking with such certainty about how old things are. And I know a little tidbit, which is that you have a carbon dating machine here, and it's one of just a handful in this country. How does a carbon dating machine work?
Well, cosmic radiation up in the atmosphere transforms nitrogen into an unstable isotope of carbon. And that carbon circulates to the atmosphere, and plants take it up, and animals take it up, and we take it up, so that all of us have a small proportion of radioactive carbon in our tissues. But when we die, when we no longer interact with the atmosphere, the ratio of radioactive carbon to non-radioactive carbon slowly changes as the radioactive carbon goes away. So we can, with really fancy equipment, extract a sample of carbon from an ancient bit of organic tissue, a bone, fuel wood, food, and then we can submit it for mass spectrometry, which measures the different types of isotopes, and then we can calculate a date.
So that's fascinating. Each one of us, each thing we're looking at in this room today, everything we see is almost being date stamped by this cosmic radiation.
Yep. And it can be recent or ancient, but it doesn't work beyond about 60,000 years ago.
Fascinating. Many, many thanks to you, Eric Blinman, and all your fabulous staff for being with us on the Children's Hour.
Egyptians and the other Africans, the Mayans, the Incans, and all the Polynesians, all around the world, a long, long time ago, people would walk wherever they had to go. They didn't have car keys, and they didn't have roads. They didn't have those ugly convenience stores or Texacos, in fact. All around the world, a long, long time ago, people would walk wherever they had to go. Mm-hmm. 90s and the gasoline does flow, but I still try and walk most of the places I have to go. But sometimes my friends, they'll say, Frank.
Hey, Frank, wait a minute.
There's a bus or a cab over there.
Yeah, why don't we go ahead and get in it?
But I say no, 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 and didn't you know? You get to know things better when they go by slow.
That's Cherokee Rose and Selena with Balanced by Tradition, and Boy Dog Pondering with the Ancient Egyptians. You're listening to the Children's Hour. We've been learning about archaeology. October is International Archaeology Month. October 19th is International Archaeology Day. We've got links and so much more information posted at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Archaeology. We're going to go out with one more. This is Lila Gilday with One Drum right here on the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. We'll catch you next time.
Life unfolds around me. I can choose which path I take. Brilliant life I make. We are standing on the shoulders of giants. We are standing in the shelter of ancients. We are speaking the truth of the people. We are marching to the beat. We're
there's a time for recompense and a time to break new ground, new ground. We are standing on the shoulders of giants. We are standing in the shelter of ancients. We are speaking the truth, speaking the truth, speaking the truth. We are marching to the beat.
Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, links, learn-along guides, and more about us at childrenshour.org.
Today's show was written and produced by me, Katie Stone. We had live engineering help from Andres Martinez, production support from Marty Adamsmith, and our internist, Daniel Lentz. Many thanks to everyone at the New Mexico Office of Archaeological Studies for hosting our show.
Find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to our patreon.com/thechildrenshour.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the Children's Hour podcast.
We post our photos and more on Instagram and Facebook. Find us at TCH Radio.
Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
The Children's Hour is distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.